What up, y'all? What it do? What it do? What it do? It is hour two with the Lunch Break Crew. Ray Nitty, maybe Shannon, DJ Brother Z holding us down on the production and sound. This is the Lunch Break, y'all, on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. I'm tripping. I got to get the binder in here.
Look, we got something on the menu, different. And you ain't even...
I'm acting real different.
We all the way in hour two. I ain't even seen you look at the menu. Right. Look, we an hour or two and you ain't even looked at the menu.
I can't put in your order, please. We got somebody else that's going to be coming to this table soon.
Oh, man.
Man, how y'all?
We got to turn this table around.
Right. 833-212-1017. That is the number to dial. You can text that number as well, y'all. It is hour two. We got some things on the menu we're going to get to in a little bit, but... If you just joining us, man, yes, we had an amazing hour one. We were talking about a few things, predominantly reading and so forth, as we transition our segment into some other news surrounding us. We want to talk about the Chicago volunteer who got sentenced for turning in a confiscated gun. So this was confirmed via ABC7 Chicago and the Chicago Sun-Times, both reporting directly from the sentencing hearing. Just so you know, we citing our sources here on the Lunch Break. Nakia Smith, 51, a convicted felon. There it is. There it is. I'm sure that's what it had to do with. Convicted felon who spent 13 years volunteering with Chicago CRED, an anti-violence group run by former U.S. Education Secretary Arne Duncan, walked into a Chicago police station in March 2023 to surrender a gun he says he'd taken off the streets. Ding, ding, ding. Because he's a felon, he's legally barred from possessing a firearm. Police arrested him on the spot. He faced charges, including being an armed habitual criminal that could have carried 6 to 30 years in prison. Smith spent 7 months in Cook County Jail before posting 10% of a $150,000 bond.
Damn.
And being placed on electronic monitoring. Man, all while continuing his anti-violence volunteer work.
Bruh.
Man, this month Smith pled guilty to a reduced charge, aggravated unlawful possession of a weapon, and was sentenced. Okay, that's what's up. Was sentenced to time served, meaning the time he'd already spent in custody satisfied the sentence. At sentencing, Smith urged the Chicago Police Department to create an actual pathway for felons to surrender guns without facing prosecution. Duncan has publicly warned. The case sends exactly the wrong message. I can't tell you how many people have come up to me and said, we're never turning in a gun.
Yeah.
So, outcome was time served, right? So I guess he avoided the worst case scenario. But this case still took over 3 years and a felony plea to resolve. So... is that really a system working?
Now he went a two-time felon because of this?
That's a good question. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know what is the outcome of that. Like, is he a two-time felon?
Oh. It's messed up because they know he's doing... So, like we've talked about before, a lot of times these kids feel more comfortable, right, dealing with people that... they know, understand their lifestyle or what they've gone through. And sometimes we do have to look to felons or people that have been in the system, you know, at one point or the other. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the situation was or how he came upon this gun, but it could have just been a kid that trusted him and was like, I know you'll do the right thing with this. I don't want to go to the police and get in trouble. And then to watch him go through this is definitely discouraging, and I can see how it sends the wrong message.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Because you have these violence interrupters that, you know, a lot of times put their lives on the lines to be that person in between so many potential crimes, so many potential violence that could have happened, and they put their lives on the line. And like you said, people trust them. So it's no telling how it came into his possession. But I guess the best outcome for him would have been is time served, but he still had to spend that money. Sure. He still had to spend that money
and time
in doing the right thing.
The money, the time, the headache.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's frustrating. And then
ankle monitoring.
It sounds like he also has a new felony charge.
Yep.
If I'm not mistaken, right?
That's what it sounds like. Because he pled guilty.
Life, your time.
He pled guilty to a lesser charge. So, yeah, I think he probably is carrying two felonies now. So,
man, they definitely need some type of law that protects the violence interrupters, because that's super unfortunate. And like I said, we need those people to intervene. We need those people on the streets. We need those people to talk to our youth that can understand where they're coming from and to not be crucified when they step in and try to do the right thing, you know?
It's so many.
That's insane.
It's so many different laws and things that we have in place, right, to just minimize people with felonies or keep them from really achieving new heights. It makes me think of what Adam Procell went through, who was he actually had, they gave him the job and had to take it back from him because the department went through some changes, if I'm not mistaken. And due to those changes and it now being its own department, if I'm not mistaken, I think one of the rules was like department heads can't be felons or something like that. I think that's what it was.
Something like that. Yeah.
But we got Amir on the line. Let's go talk to brother Amir on the line. Amir, how you doing, brother?
Hey, peace and blessings, Ray. Hey, what's happening, Shannon? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I was just tapping in on the subject with the violence interrupter. Chicago CRID is one of the organizations in Chicago that we kind of partner with in different modes. And I don't know if a lot of people understand what CVI is. The people that use, the people that's used during CVI work is actual felons for the most part. People that has a criminal past and probably they're still on parole or probation. And you might work with a young person that might have a weapon on them. You don't know, but you get caught with this young person. Now you're subjected to different rules and regulations than, you know, just regular people that's not on probation or parole. So with the brother turning in that firearm, it is discouraging in some aspects, because it's like, damn, you try to do the right thing, but it's nothing in place for the people that's actually got the credibility to do the right thing. You know, there's no legislation there. There's no laws. There's no nothing. You know, so if we get caught in them situations right there, the law says this has to happen. And it's, you know, and he got a felony on his record because he pled guilty to something that, you know, is crazy.
So just for educational purposes, Brother Amir, so this would, by him pleading guilty, you know, Shannon had brought up this question. Would that mean he now carries a second felony now because he pled guilty to a lesser charge?
Well, I would have to see the case, but in a lot of cases, if you get caught a felon in possession of a firearm, that's a felony. If they pled him down to something else, I'm not sure. But most cases is if you get caught with a firearm as a felony, you get another felony. Yeah. But it might not be that for his case. I'm not sure.
Yeah, so it said he pled guilty to a reduced charge, aggravated unlawful possession of a weapon, and was sentenced to time served, is what they said. So I don't know if that charge carries
a misdemeanor or felony.
Yeah,
it did.
It didn't quite say.
But that still it still make it a little bit more difficult to do what we should be doing anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
It make it a whole lot more harder, and people don't see, you know, that struggle that some of us has when we have to constantly be aware of, like, hyper aware of everything, you know, not just, you know, working with the people that we deem at risk, but at the same time working in the community, and somebody might have a weapon, and if he get caught with it, I'm buying him, I'm subject to be charged the same type of way, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Being a felon or on parole or probation, and doing the work out here, doing good in the community. So it's disheartening. It's really disheartening for them to even charge him with it, to be honest.
Man, I commend y'all work, brother. You know how I feel about the work that y'all do. I commend y'all work. I think y'all should be paid way more for the work that you all are doing. Y'all put y'all lives on the line, and folks sending y'all out there with orange shirts and gun locks and asking y'all to keep the peace, and almost as sometimes demanding even more success rates than folks who got hundreds of millions of dollars to do this work. So ironically enough, when we get into the meat and potatoes, when we return from this break, we're going to be talking about Wisconsin State Fair, the fights, the fallouts, why this is happening, and why I do think folks need to privatize that type of work. Violence intervention work needs to be privatized, and maybe State Fair should have hired some folks like some CVI interrupters.
Right.
That's just a thought. That's just a thought, because police ain't been interrupting the violence. They ain't been stopping it. They respond to it. But maybe if you invest in something that helps, you know, keep the peace and actually put value on it, we'll start to see some change. Don't go anywhere, y'all. This is a lunch break with Ray Nitti and maybe Shannon.
Don't go anywhere.
Sway. Certified everywhere, ain't got a print of resume. Check out. Talk crazy, I pull up underlay. R.P. to Nate, dog. I had to regulate.
What up, y'all? Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. It is your boy Ray Nitti. Maybe Shannon, DJ Brother Z holding us down on the production and sound. On the award winning 101.7 The Truth. Hour 2 with the Lunch Break crew. Hey, hit him with the left. Hit him with the right. How y'all feel?
That's what they was doing. They didn't know who they wanted to hit. Oh,
man. Everybody. Everybody got hit.
That was a mosh pit. That was. What's on the menu over there, Ray? It looked like they serving up something nice over there on the menu before we get into our mosh pit video.
Man, on the menu today, we got looking to discover and support local businesses in our community? Then make sure you tune in every Friday at 8 a.m. to Truth in the Morning with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman for What the Business Is, powered by We Energies. Each week, you'll hear from local business owners as they share what their business is, where they're located, and one valuable lesson they've learned along the way. We Energies is proud to help power local businesses and the communities they serve. Don't miss What the Business Is every Friday at 8 a.m. only on Truth in the Morning with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman, powered by We Energies, delivering the energy that powers local business. That was good. That was good.
Wonderful. Scrumptious, if you will.
That was good. Almost as good as the corn down at State Fair.
That you didn't get.
I didn't go. I didn't go. My
Why
Spidey.
Why didn't you go? You was excited.
Well, you know, I had it was a lot going on. It was a lot going on this weekend. I was working on a condo.
A lot going on at that fair.
All types of different other things. But what happened Sunday night, man? It was the final night. This is confirmed by CBS 58, WISN, TMJ4, and Fox 6. All right? This is still a developing story at this time. Citing our sources. Multiple fights broke out late Sunday, August 16th, the final night of the Wisconsin State Fair. 175th year. That was 175 they was cutting up. inside the fairgrounds near the Spin City Carnival and Ride. Spin City, it's always at the rides. That's why Afrofest right. ain't here no more. The Ferris wheel at Afrofest. If you're following us on YouTube, we're showing a clip of the melee that was going down. I couldn't even tell. I was like, does this look AI? But they was going crazy.
Wow, that's insane.
It was going crazy. Multiple videos, multiple fights. At least one officer was punched in the face. Damn. West Dallas Police Assisted State Fair Park Police responded to the incident. Large police presence was visible on video shot by fairgoers.
Yeah. This is crazy.
It was going for a while, too.
Literally, like, what is going on?
It was going for a while. Separately, the same night in West Dallas, one person was taken into custody following an assault and shots fired incident. Officials have not yet confirmed publicly whether it was directly connected to the fairground fights or a separate nearby incident. As of this recording, State Fair officials and West Dallas police have not released official arrest totals, full injury counts, or a detailed account of what triggered the fights. This remains actively developing. So, we got this little inside source where we be hearing some things, right? So this is not confirmed. This is not confirmed. This is unconfirmed. But it's something I think worth sharing. So what was said is, or allegedly, what's allegedly happening was there was this guy who was shooting at people coming out of the fairgrounds. I don't know how true that is. We got to do some more research into that. So to hear
so that's
that
something completely different.
Yep. So to hear that this was, a separate incident that wasn't, because there was reports of, you saw things like reports of shot fired by the USFIR. You know how they that website, not website, but that Facebook account that basically shares everything on the scanner. So they shared that as well. Yeah. And people were saying it was some guy that was, they say it was a white guy that was shooting. Unconfirmed. Let me lead with that. Unconfirmed.
Man.
But what we do know is there was a confirmed arrest for assault and shots fired near West Dallas. They didn't give out no reports on that yet. But just something to monitor. What you think, Shannon? We've been down this road before.
Man.
Bruh.
I'm tired, boss. I just feel like it's just a shame because if what you're saying is true, we got our kids fighting each other and then you got to walk out of the fairgrounds and fight the mass shooters. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, where do we find peace, right? And it's just unfortunate that kids somehow find that fun to just terrorize each other or terrorize people that are just there genuinely to enjoy themselves. Like, that's their version of fun right now.
Right.
It's super unfortunate that's what's going on. Like, I feel like it's been a thing, right? Like, when we were younger, like, you'd see stuff like that. But to this degree, maybe I'm just forgetting how bad it was when we were younger, but it's just like, it don't even sound fun to go to the fair at night. Mm-mm. Don't even go near Spin City after 1 p.m.
I got like a ride you said, last time too.
What time was it?
It was the sun was up.
Okay, the sun was, you was straight. Yeah. If you got off and that sun was down, you might've walked into being a Rock'em Sock'em Room.
That's when I got my funnel cake. I ate my funnel cake on the outside of the fairgrounds because the sun was down.
You got to take it and go. Look, that's the sun downtown. But anywho, Ben City is the sun downtown.
Pew, pew, pun gun.
Oh, Spin City. Yeah. Hey, you start feeling like Will Smith in that I Am Legend movie. Like, oh, shoot. Oh, the undesirables are coming. You got to scurry up out of there.
Shoot. The lumping proletarians.
Evacuate. You better see some cows once that sun go down. Get up out of that Spin City.
I knew something was up when I seen them walking the cows out.
He said, let me take my dang on cows. Let me get up out of here.
Walking them cows out. But yeah, man. This ain't new, man. This ain't new. Well, I'll tell you what. Gen Z wasn't using data that night.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they was. They were streaming the fight.
Not everybody. Not it. They were somebody was. It looked like it was streamed on Meta glasses.
Man, they streaming it, TikToking it.
Somebody said, he said, I can't tell who was fighting who. Almost like they were just randomly hitting random. That's what it looked like. I'm like, how?
Like a mosh pit. Like they were just swinging.
How's everybody involved in this? We had a couple videos too that we sent. I don't know if Brother Z want to play some more of those videos from that night. It was a girl getting arrested. The sun was up for that one. I'm like, damn, you was really upset.
Wait, she ain't even wait.
Then you
she
had
said, I don't
one,
care about that.
You had one where this is when the sheriffs and the festival security. It was a missing kid. You see somebody there with a missing kid, and then I guess the lady was coming up to get her kid, and I guess they said you gotta listen to it, but it's profanity in that video, so I don't think we could actually play the audio. But I guess when she came up to get her kid, like, the police did like a sweep move on her, and you hear somebody like, this is our kid. What you sweep her down for? I'm like, dang.
They slapped her.
Like, just, you
they
know,
sick
the,
of it.
Like a no, foot no. sweep, like Liu Kang in Mortal Kombat.
Yo, that's hilarious. But
So,
it's so much going on at that fair. I really just wish. I wish one year we could act like we got some sense at the fair, y'all. The young people gotta get it right.
Yeah, so what I will say, Shannon, is fighting at the fair, it's not just exclusive to this generation, for sure. I will say that is not exclusive to them. Because my generation, we had, you know, Afrofest. And yeah. Back then at Afrofest, they had the pit. Remember the volleyball pit? Oh, I don't know if you was the volleyball pit, but 860 and Homer Blow used to actually DJ the marsh pit. And that's where you would get black music from, because it would be Homer Blow DJing. Okay. And we had fights there too. We had fights there too, yeah. And I even remember in our days at traffic, when we were having traffic, there was a group of individuals called the Knockout Boys, and you didn't want to get caught by KOB. They was taking you out your car and knocking you out.
Well, okay, so where they at now? Do we know where they? We need a where
you
are they
what?
Now?
Some of them is some outstanding citizens right now. I knew a couple. Of those guys that was in
we
that.
We need to talk to them. We need to bring them on here, because we need to look. What would have made y'all do better back then?
So, I think the difference I see is a lot of these like fights, and thank God nothing happened at this one, but a lot of these fights nowadays lead to gun violence. And I think that is part of the issue. But in our days, we had them for sure. Probably just didn't necessarily lead to as much violence, after violence, as it was with the. Somebody says, I was with them.
Who? Jasmine Jazz West said they're going to move the events outside of the city. And Trey 5437, they're going to start proposing age restrictions at the fair if they keep it up. What I thought was funny is somebody told me they thought they already were proposing those age restrictions. But we can talk about this more after the break. You are listening to the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Don't go anywhere. I need security. They know I got racks in the back of the back and these diamonds got clarity. They know I got mans, they thinking I'm different. These scared of me. My new got money, she taking me shopping. I told her to marry me. I go to the mall with a stack of the hundreds.
What up, y'all? Welcome back. Ray Nitty, maybe Shannon, DJ Brother Z holding us down on the production and sound on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. This is the Lunch Break Crew, your favorite 2 hours of the day, man. If you just joining us, we talking about, yes, our little cousins down in State Fair, man. We talking about them. We talking about, but Bar, was you just saying you was with KOB? I'm just trying.
Accusations.
Right, I thought he meant he was at the State Fair. I was like, "What you
was doing?" That's what I thought he was. But I guess he was saying KOB.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I'm mad.
Right. We gotta clear some things up.
Change the way I respond to your comments before you pull me out of the street light. But nah, they KOB was on dirt, folks. I ain't gonna lie, they was on that. Jasmine said they're gonna move. You said this already, right? They're gonna move the events out the city. They already started. Greek Fest, like in Waukesha now. Greek Fest in Waukesha. Yeah.
They're gonna be in Maguanago. Y'all better quit playing.
She said they dragging their feet with the age restrictions. I think Babar saying he was with KOB. Yeah, I need to change the way I read those comments. You the cousin on the good side, Babar. Just remember, it was always love with me. Never once disagreed. Always kept it respectful.
Oh, man.
I'm not at the age to be defending myself. Or the physique. My back hurt right now just sitting in this chair for 2 hours. Oh, Babar said I was getting knocked out by them. All right, that might be a setup. I'm still going to watch what I say. That's how KOB get you. They lure you in thinking they was a friend.
He was getting knocked out.
That's how they get you. They lure you man. In. They're like, hey, man, we need to get over there. Next day, you let them through. They on your heels.
Oh, that's crazy.
But
KOB, that's wild.
Yeah, y'all, this is not new, man. It happens most years. That's crazy. Most years, 2022, State Fair officials confirmed 10 separate disturbances in a single Saturday night alone, with park police using tactics necessary to mitigate the situation. 4 citations were issued, though nobody was referred for criminal charges that year. The previous more severe incident saw hundreds of young people leave the fairgrounds and rampaged through surrounding West Dallas neighborhoods, smashing car windows, attacking pedestrians, injuring 2 women badly enough to need hospital treatment. One needed stitches, another needed surgery. With State Fair Park's own CEO confirming 24 arrests inside the fairgrounds and 7 park police officers injured, 2 hospitalized. The pattern across these incidents is consistently large teenage/young adult crowds consistently concentrated in the amusement/ride area and consistently draws the same public response cycle. Outrage, a promise of more signage or security, and then it reoccurs the following year. They got rid of the what's the name for a second. Said, what does KOB mean? Knockout boys. That's what it meant. That's what the hell it meant.
Damn.
Knockout boys. Yo, we got Blake on the line. How you doing, Blake?
I'm all right, man. That last year when I worked, I did every day last year, and none of that happened last year. I did emergency response, and I drive the artist from their vehicles to the stage. I worked from like 4 o'clock to midnight every day. And it was nothing like that last year. This whole year been crazy with these kids being asinine. Like, we got procedures. Something like that happened, we make a circle, we shut it down. They ain't want none of them kids, man. It was people on staff that should be suspended and wrote up, because there's a procedure that happens when it's a breakout of mayhem and chaos. Mm-hmm. We ain't supposed to put our hands on nobody. We just surround them till the police come. Then all the million-dollar horses they got, they didn't have the horses around. They just had them on the outside to kick one of the kids in the head, and that's a lawsuit. Mm-hmm. So you had Down syndrome kids getting ran over yesterday. It's going to be some lawsuits coming, because everybody's on camera down there. There's over 1,000 cameras in that area, just where the rides are. That's why Somerset has no rides.
Sorry for interrupting your wisdom.
No problem, brother.
So you were down there last night.
No, I worked it last year. And
oh,
like
you,
I'm
worked,
saying,
that, you
like,
worked it last and, year. Got
and
it,
there,
got it.
I would last year every day, and there was nothing. The last day, even though it rained out, the days that we were down there and it was closing at midnight, nothing happened.
Yeah.
Even if it was a planned event, there was supposed to be grown. Where are the grown people, dude?
Mm-hmm.
You just don't let no kids rip and run nowhere, man.
Mm-hmm.
We don't allow that. You know, just that, just like you didn't do, you caught them kids doing that stuff on your property.
Yeah,
there's a whole bunch of things you could have did to them and their parents.
Yeah,
but you paid it forward.
Yeah,
they couldn't stand me when I was working there, because I'm like, how's your boyfriend and girlfriend at work? How's y'all smoking weed on the clock? How's y'all smoking black and mild walking in the crowd with these people, man? Y'all being looked at. What it is, like I said, why don't Summerfest have rides no more? Because they did the same thing.
Yeah.
Why is Greek Fest at Waukesha? Because they did the same thing.
Absolutely.
You keep on doing the same thing, they're going to move you around, or they'll move around.
Yeah.
And everybody keep talking about, hey, we got to get rid of them. Dude, they won't do nothing but say, Marshall out here and shut it down.
Yeah. Mm. Man, appreciate Cousin Blake calling in. He said he worked at State Fair last year. Didn't see any of those things. Go ahead.
He also did mention, I feel like he also mentioned, which I wanted to highlight, that a lot of the people that are working there, there are other things that they could have done to kind of like, you know, settle things down that just wasn't being done, so it became a bigger issue, if I'm not mistaken. That's what it sounded like he was saying, like there's rules and ways you were supposed to handle these situations, and people just weren't handling the situations right, because they work in there, but they just there, they're not working there to actually make a difference and actually do their job. So it sounds like he's saying, like, it's plenty of things that they were supposed to do that just weren't getting done, and that's why so much ended up happening yesterday.
We got Trey says, what could, you want to take a stab at that, Shannon?
What could we do?
Yeah, what we could do, if we could redirect these kids' organizational skills, we could create generational wealth, problem solving, of so many issues. What we could do, we could redirect these. Okay, yeah. So basically he's saying, like, what we need to be doing is redirecting his organizational skills. Speaking of organizational skills, I saw the other day it was going viral. I don't know how true it is. Somebody could have just did this and been being funny. It was like a teenage girl. She made a flyer using AI. It was her and another girl, and they said, fight tomorrow at school at 11:30 a.m.
I saw that. They had a flyer.
No backing down. Like,
bruh. They had
somebody
both
said,
of
you know, it would have been nice to know. I was catching a fade tomorrow.
Clarissa Shields and somebody else about to fight. It was the main event.
Yeah.
I remember.
They said that. Back in the day, you just had to go to school and catch a fade. You ain't even know it was coming.
Man,
these organizational skills, if put to work the correct way, they have so many good ideas. If listened to and if directed where we need it, man. Like he said, we could be solving a whole lot of issues. We could be doing a whole lot.
I remember that one time they publicized the fight that was supposed to happen at like Custer Field. The whole city. The whole city was there. I was there. I was like, people ain't really showing up for this.
Before AI fired.
They was there. Oh my God. The whole city was at Custer. You couldn't park. Office of Violence Prevention was out there doing what they could do to try to minimize the city. But I was like, black people know how to organize. Look at this.
They do.
It's just
somebody said these kids brought the organized chaos.
Exactly.
Organized chaos. That's exactly what it is. So I do remember, well, before we go down memory lane, let's take it to break. Am I right, Brother Z?
Yeah, absolutely. Take it there.
Well, we will be back after these messages. Listen, you are listening to the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. Don't forget, you can always call and join the conversation, 833-212-1017. We'll be right back.
Don't go anywhere.
Yes, 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 yes. Welcome back, y'all. This is the Lunch Break Crew, Ray Nitty. Maybe Shannon, DJ Brother Z holding us down for the production and sound, man. Shannon, they just brought a little something on the menu. You interested in this?
Let's hear the menu, right?
Well, Milwaukee, mark your calendars. Join us for Truth Family Fest on Saturday, August 22nd. From 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Riverside University High School. It's free and fun for the entire family. Featuring great music, community resources, family activities, and back-to-school support to help students get ready for a successful school year. Interested in volunteering? Visit the Truth Family Fest website at truthfamilyfest.com to complete the volunteer form or by emailing cierra.brown@milwaukeeblackmedia.com. Bring the whole family and experience one of Milwaukee's favorite community celebrations, Truth Family Fest, Saturday, August 22nd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Special thanks to Educators Credit Union, American Family Insurance, Milwaukee Public Schools, Artists Working in Education, City of Milwaukee, AB Core Core, Ascension, and Tap In MKE. Shouts out to the sponsors, man.
Man, that was yummy. Go Tigers, straight 5-4-3-7. Say go Tigers.
Hey, man, a whole lot of Riverside stuff going on in here, man. Class of 2002, what it do, man. They getting ready to turn our table over soon, Shannon, but we still got some stuff on this plate that I feel, right?
We do. Let us eat.
Right. Bruh. I mean, you could always stay and join your boy. See how quiet Shannon got.
I'm going to the bathroom real quick.
Oh my god, that is funny as ever. We got Al on the line. Let's go see what Al talking about real quick. Al, how you doing, cousin Al?
Oh, hey, I'm doing good. I'm going to be honest with you. And you know what? Let's go to hell right now. No, we're going to go beneath hell.
Drive.
We have these parents out here. I think the parents of these kids are mentally retarded. I think they're slow. I think some of these parents are crack babies. And I think some of them use CPS for not putting their foot clean up in their kid's ass. Because when you raise your kids, when they leave that house, they already know what's tolerated and what's not tolerated, because if they get in them streets and get in a situation, they're going to be calling their parents. Mm-hmm. So I personally feel there's something lacking in the household. Maybe they screwing too much, and they need to take the time to keep their foot in their kid's ass. Mm. That's why they out there, that little girl, 12, 13 years old, ain't nothing but a little whore, and she don't got no walls by the time she's 17. They out here fighting, acting like a bunch of monkeys that broke loose from the cage. And then when somebody put a bullet in their ass, they doing a GoFundMe. This starts at home. You can have as many resources out there, but if you don't stay on your kid's back, and if you don't keep your foot in their ass like you keep your face in that Bible, that is the outcome. That is the mama and the daddy problem. That is not the society problem. That's not the community problem. And that's why nobody want to be around them crumb-snatching, uncontrollable, disrespectful, no-home-training bastards. That's a mama and daddy problem. Maybe they should stop screwing the wrong DNA. Mm.
Mm.
We gotta keep it 100. We gotta hurt some feelings. Cause mama gonna be hurt the next day cause she went too long that night on her back. So we gonna hurt some feelings immediately right now.
Mm.
See, we don't ever really wanna talk about it. We wanna use poverty. We wanna say CPS. Don't say you the CPS, just say I'm a mother, I'm a daddy, I don't give a damn and I don't wanna raise my goddamn kids. So I'm going to put money on his books when he go to prison because I don't got what it takes to put books, money on his books when his little ignorant ass try to go to college. That's what I think we need to say. Or if we don't, we're going to be going down the same road and the North Side going to continue to look like Beloit. And then they can tell you we don't have no resources and then we can get stung by a piece of rebar that's coming out the goddamn concrete. How about that?
I'm scared.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Al.
Man.
I'm scared.
Ray, what you think about that?
I think Al right. I think Al right. You know our saying, when Al right, he right.
Might not say it in the most...
he add a lot more color to it.
Or, he don't hold back. And sometimes... Exactly. And sometimes people do need to hear it just straight. They don't need a chaser. They need to take it straight. And I think the theme of this whole conversation today, Ben, people need to be more involved with their children's lives.
Mm-hmm.
I think a big issue for me is like, I know some kids don't even have that. Like they just bouncing around from group home to group home and foster home to foster home. So what happens with those kids? You know what I'm saying? Like, and then those kids go to school with our kids and they normally are good at being, like you said, they know organized chaos, they know how to be the leader of a pack, and they know how to demand a room, so to speak. So who kind of sways those kids, who teaches those kids? That's a good way to put it, because granted, some of them do have parents in their life that just don't care enough or that aren't too involved. But we got a lot of these kids out here. We'd be surprised to see the numbers of how many kids just don't have parents that are involved at all, you know, that could care less what's happening, whether it's their problem, the state's problem. They ain't even gonna do a GoFundMe for some of these kids. They don't care. You know, so what do we do with them?
So what's already being done far as like, I guess, trying to address this is Wisconsin State Fair already uses community-based violence interrupters. Volunteers in bright orange shirts that I spoke of, drawn from Milwaukee County community groups who patrol the ground specifically to de-escalate conflicts before they become fights. One volunteer, Black Scheif, describes the approach directly. If we're seeing them congregating that look like it could turn into something, we get in there, we defuse it immediately. We're all we got. I mean, we as a community are all we got. If we don't do it, it's not going to get done. Once again, I say these are volunteers. I want us to hear this. Is that West Dallas? Where State Fair is, West Dallas? We send volunteers, not paid State Fair staff.
Exactly.
So meaning the program,
talking about volunteers from Milwaukee, man. Like, come on, man.
Come on now. Come on now. Sure. It's easy to say, well, Milwaukee people are the problem. Well, you a business in West Dallas, and that's your responsibility.
You attract us. Exactly. You attract Milwaukee people.
You know what I mean? Invest in the proper protection. We always get called to volunteer for something, not ever like bring us on as a consultant or, you know, the contractor. This means
and
the program
and volunteer is never really volunteer.
Come on now. So the program scale and consistency depends on community groups showing up on their own, not a guaranteed funded State Fair park hiring commitment. Which is why I say the bigger conversation, privatization of violence prevention. These folks already volunteering to turn confiscated guns in off the street and catching second felonies. We can't offer them a real contract to do this work then?
And like I said, volunteering is not just like show up and stand around. They like you said, they use them as consultants. They expect them to put their lives and their what is it? Like lives and their record on the line, like, but you don't want to pay these people.
Absolutely.
And then they wonder why it's so hard to find these type of volunteers. You see what they dealing with. The police gonna come after the problem. So if you don't have somebody to intervene as the problem looks like it's brewing, like Black Shive said, when we see them congregating, what's going on? Let's find out before it get too, you know what I'm saying, too far. But you're not even people that are literally putting themselves in harm's way 9 times out of 10. And that's just unfortunate.
Yep. I think it's something to consider. We look at people that do violence prevention work, violence interruption work. They put their lives on the line, and they don't have the proper tools and resources when they out putting their lives on the line to even protect themselves. They got no shields. They got no firearms. They don't even got flashlights. They don't got bulletproof vests. They have nothing. Bright orange shirts that says, hey, I'm
a rape whistle.
Come on now. I'm the target. Here's this gun lock. And here's this book. Please stop the violence. Oh, yeah, I'm just volunteering as well. Invest in violence prevention. I'm talking about all these companies. Downtown. You want downtown to be better? Invest in violence prevention. Don't wait for the city to do it. You invest in it. That's just my thought, Shannon. I'm going to let you stir the pot today before we close out. That sounded crazy.
Before we head out, we had 2 more comments. One of them said, sometimes people say what others think but are too polite to say. And then we have, the village has to continue to put when it can. Some kids have uninvolved parents and others have parents who still need parenting. This is The Lunch Break with Maybe Shannon and Ray Nitty. Follow us on Facebook at The Lunch Break, and don't forget to follow your host Ray Nitty and Maybe Shannon. We out.
All right, y'all, don't go anywhere. I'll be kicking in for the lunch, not the lunch break, the grapevine next, y'all. We're talking about a toxic town, CWC. Don't go anywhere. We out.